Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and we are going to continue our NFL draft conversation, Dustin. Next up on the list of Penn State players is Pat Freiermuth, who went number 55 in the second round to your Pittsburgh Steelers.
They're my Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, they're not mine, so I assume they were yours.
I mean, they're somebody's Pittsburgh Steelers, but they're not mine. 55 overall. I mean, this was I thought Freiermuth might slide a little bit more than 55. Honestly, I thought maybe second round. I thought maybe late second round. Pittsburgh, just like Jason Elway, a really good destination for Pat Freiermuth. Somebody who's going to value his blocking and his receiving ability. He had been compared to a couple guys. I mean, baby Gronk thing. I think that's an overused phrase. I don't think Freiermuth really compares all that favorably to Rob Gronkowski. I thought it was easy because he's from New England and all that. But Heath Miller is a pretty good one. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, from NFL Network compared him to Hunter Henry, who was from Arkansas a few years back, who's now just signed with New England. So I think Freiermuth in Pittsburgh is a good fit. They have a need for a guy who's just going to be a solid receiver, blocker type. They've got Eric Ebron in town, who's a really athletic, long pass catcher. Freiermuth can do those things, but I think him landing in Pittsburgh, I think you're going to see a new era there with Matt Canada going into his first year as offensive coordinator. They're revamping what they're doing from a blocking standpoint. I thought they probably valued a blocking tight end in this draft more so than maybe previous years. And it's not to put that label on Freiermuth. He's not a blocking tight end. He is a very good tight end who happens to like the blocking part of it. And I think that's something that Freiermuth brought to the table that not all tight ends do, is that he is a willing and able blocker and takes pride in that part of the game. And I think as much as anything else, Pittsburgh probably liked that about him.
I always looked at Pat Freiermuth as the guy who was good at everything at tight end. Maybe not great at anything, but good to very good at everything, which I think gives him a very high floor. And I always say I think he's a guy who's going to be in the league 10, 12 seasons. Just reliable. He'll show up every game, and you know he'll give you that. He had some issues with injuries at the end of the year. I wondered how much that would affect his draft stock, and would he fall a bit? I believe also, Dustin, when you look at where a guy goes, you should also look at, in the position of tight end, how many guys went before him at the position, and that is one.
We all know, one, you know, right?
Kyle Pitts. So it became the time whenever there was someone who was going to need a tight end, Pat Freiermuth was going to be the next one to go. After that, Dustin, we had quite a wait to see the next set of players that went, and the next guy, this one did surprise me. Shaka Tony didn't go until number 246. And I also hate this. Another one, he went to the hated Washington football team. But good for him getting drafted. But did that seem a little bit low?
He slid. I really thought, you know, we could be looking at like a fourth round, fifth round type range for Shaka Tony. So for him to slide to the seventh, I thought Washington got outstanding value for him. I don't know what exactly his role is going to be at the NFL level. I don't know if he's going to be able to kind of keep his weight in a position to be able to make a consistent impact, but he is an outstanding pass rusher. He has a long track record of making plays. He tested very, very well at Penn State's Pro Day. I don't know what all questions you have for him other than just kind of trying to figure out what the best position is for him. Can he hold up as a true defensive end type? But I think Washington probably viewed this pick as a all right, if this guy is a situational pass rusher, if we don't ask him to do anything else except line up on third down on obvious passing downs and unleash, he's going to make a difference for that organization at some point in time. And I don't know if it's going to even be all that far down the road. I don't know that you're going to have him be a three down player. I don't know if that will ever be in his future. But you've seen lesser players who have, you know, smaller roles make a difference, make a lot of money, and last around the league for a long time. And I think that's going to be Shaka Toney. There's not a whole lot for him left to answer when you see the vertical jump, when you see how fast he was, you see his first step. He's going to be a pass rush guy. I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot more. But for that to slide, for those questions to push him into the seventh round was really surprising to me. You've seen, you know, you always see fourth round talent slip for whatever reason. It just always happens. But I was definitely surprised by that. And I thought Washington got a really good player at a really good value position there.
And I'm going to probably ask our buddy Ross Tucker this question later this week, but I'll ask you also. Jason Owe, Shaka Toney. Owe was a first-round draft pick. Shaka Toney, a seventh-round draft pick. I understand the freakish nature of Jason Owe's abilities, but should there really be that much difference in where they get drafted?
Yeah, it's always the challenge. I mean, the production you have in college doesn't mean a whole lot if you're not fast enough, strong enough, quick enough, talented, dynamic enough to really make that translate against bigger, stronger, faster competition. So, I mean, the tools are always going to be a really defining factor. It is an interesting side-by-side comparison. You've got a guy who's pretty much maxed out physically in Shaka Toney, who there's not a whole lot more for him to grow into from that standpoint. And Jason Owe has a ton more to grow into. And you have to weigh all that stuff. And it's unique to see one guy go in the first and one guy go in the seventh. But it's always going to be the nature of the beast. And I think freakish physical tools are always going to win out, because without those, you don't have much of a chance to make a big difference in the NFL.
Another pick right after that, Toney was pick number 246. Michael Mennett was pick number 247, also the seventh round draft pick. And I talked about Pat Freiermuth being the second tight end selected. Michael Mennett, as far as centers go, I'm counting here, he was the eighth center taken. That surprises me.
Well, we all know that counting quietly always makes for good radio. We all know that, but...
Well, you yeah, at least I mean, get to see me over the screen so you could watch me doing the count. Fortunately, I have 10 fingers.
I saw you breaking a sweat there trying to count to eight. But yeah, I mean, not to replay the same thought about Shaka Toney, but you know, Michael Mennett, I think, is less of a surprise. I honestly was not sure whether he would or would not get drafted at all. But what I think about him is that he's a former five-star recruit, moves really, really well, great athlete at the position, good production, a lot of experience. You know, made the transition to center at Penn State and did a good job with it. I don't think you saw dominant film from him, but I think you see that he's got a lot to grow into. You're okay. Like, I think his frame is not quite what you want from an NFL lineman. Like, I think it is on a little bit on the small, slender side. So he has to work to kind of keep his weight up, but, you're okay with that at center. And I think I also think that he's going to carve out a long career in the NFL, because I think his best football is still out there ahead of him. I think he's got a lot to grow into. I think he's a good value pick at that spot. I think Arizona is a good landing destination for him. I made a note of it when I sent my stuff for the show to you. Like, he's not A.Q. Shipley. I don't think, you know, they're not the same player, but A.Q. Shipley spent a lot of time in Arizona. He's been in the league for 8 years and counting, including just winning a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. And he arrived as a seventh round pick. I don't think anybody really thought all that much of him. I think Michael Mennett has a very, very good chance of carving out a similar career to A.Q. Shipley.
I believe he does also. Again, I'll make the comparison to Pat Freiermuth. I think he has a very high floor to him. He's a good athlete. We know that. We know he moves well. there was, in his scouting report, what they seemed to emphasize was short arms, okay? And this was talked about at Penn State when he first came in, and he was moved from tackle to interior line, and that was the reason given. He doesn't have the long arms. Is this a case of the NFL? They see one thing in the scouting report, and that gets overplayed, and all of a sudden, oh, short arms, you know, we're going to pass on him.
Maybe his arms are short, but he's not a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, he can get the job done with suboptimal arms, and you can do that in the interior too. I mean, winning one-on-one and winning at the point of attack, as you get up the chain, I presume, you know, being able to get your hands on these big, strong guys who do have long arms. I mean, it is a requirement of the job, but I do think, you know, this is one area where you can take that one kind of fundamental truth and you can obscure it beyond recognition and overthink it. You know, for what Arizona paid to get Michael Mennett late in this draft, that concern was more than made up for in his draft position. And again, this is a theme for the show, overblown. You know, it was overblown.
Back-to-back-to-back picks, number 248, Will Fries to Indianapolis. In comparison to Michael Mennett, in your notes you talked about being surprised that he got drafted. So was I. Is that his versatility helped him playing both guard and tackle?
I think, and James Franklin mentioned this when he moved to guard, that this was his longer term position. He can get away with the fact that he is not an elite athlete. And you can get away with that more so at guard. He got the job done just fine at tackle, but I think, you know, he was positioned to prove to NFL teams that he could survive as a guard. And, you know, what you have is a guy who takes his work seriously. He's a long player. I think when it comes to being a guard, I mean, he's fine as an athlete. I thought, you know, 1 year, not even a full season at guard, really helped him a lot. That's where Indianapolis presumably will try and put him. He's not a super player. He's not a super athlete, but I think he's a guy who gives himself a chance because he's long, he's experienced, and I think he works at his craft. And, you know, being 6'6" and 6'6" and 310 pounds and having that stuff going for you, it gives you a shot to survive.
And finally, real quickly, Lamont Wade, undrafted free agent to the Steelers.
Take your work on special teams seriously. I think he could maybe carve out a niche. You've seen other guys who come from similar backgrounds who survive and make a difference on special teams.
That is it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we're going to talk about Penn State's success in the draft over the last several years. Stick around for that.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.